We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Hey friends, it's Katie Hunt from Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to another episode of Proof to Product. Today, I sat down with Kay Putnam. She is a psychology-driven brand strategist that works with entrepreneurs, and she has worked with hundreds of clients all the way from global brands to solo business owners. And during that time, she developed what she calls the Clarity Code. Kay believes that when you have a clear brand that your clients love and respect, they will be willing to pay premium prices for your work. She also believes that a strong brand will give you clarity and confidence to scale both your income and your impact within your business. When Kay is not transforming brands, she's exploring the world with her husband and two little ones. They love eating their way through their hometown of Naples, Italy. On today's episode, we talk about key components of a strong brand, how Kay has created a location-independent business, and she also walks us through a branding exercise that you can do right now. Hi, Kay. Thanks so much for joining me and coming on Proof to Product.
Katie, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So what is a misconception that online business owners have about branding?
This is easy. Every entrepreneur, especially in the beginning stages, before you like really dive into all of the business stuff that's out here on the internet, has the idea in their mind that your brand is your fonts, your colors, and your logo. And that is just the tip of the iceberg of what your brand is. I'm sure we're going to talk about what's like underneath the water, what's underneath the surface, but those are actually the last decisions that you should be making in regards to your brand.
That is fascinating. And I do want to dive deeper into that. I've got that question come up in a few, but one of your superpowers is helping clients define their unique brand advantage. What does that mean? What does your unique brand advantage mean?
This was born out of necessity because when I first started online, I was super, super awkward. I thought that I had actually peaked too early because I started my first business when I was 16.
Oh, wow.
I got to six-figure photographer back in the town I grew up. And when I started a marketing consultancy online, I was looking out at the market and I was looking at what everybody else was doing. And I was like, okay, people say that it's good to look at other successful people and then to model what they're doing. So I was doing that. I was opening up my website copy with this like bubbly, hey bombshell type of copy. And I had a video series that was called Your Monday Morning Kick in the Pants because there was this other entrepreneur that I was modeling that had this like very like macho kind of athletic type of vibe. And then there was this other entrepreneur that I saw that was amazing who has this like incredible New York City jet set amazing vacations types of life. Mm-hmm. So I renamed my signature service to Finding Your It Factor. All of these are fine. Like it's just like segments of my personality, but just wasn't like total cringeworthy thinking back to it now because it's not like me at my core. It was me trying to do what I thought that the market wanted instead of what I am. So what I've discovered is that perhaps kind of counterintuitively, instead of trying to mold your brand or mold your business into what you think that the market wants from you, it's actually much, much more productive to first figure out who you are at your best, at your strongest, like when you're in your mojo, in flow, and build your brand around that first, and then figure out where it intersects with the market.
I love that. But how do you do that with companies? I mean, especially entrepreneurs who are wearing so many hats in their business, how do you get them to push pause and take the time to figure out their why and their core and the meaning behind what they're doing?
Oh gosh, it's not easy either because I mean, when you think about your own personality, you have so many different pieces of it. Like I'm a mom, I love to weightlift, I also love to drink red wine. Like there's so many different pieces of myself that I could bring to my business. And I found this incredible tool on this like crazy rabbit hole of internet links one day. I was just searching here and there about branding because I had realized that that was the highest leverage thing that was driving the really successful brands. But I didn't have my methodology like fully formed at this point. And I found this website and it defined the 12 brand archetypes that I now use in my work a lot. And it was like this incredible, not to be super cheesy, but like epiphany moment where I was like, oh, that jet set entrepreneur, she's the royal, or that like macho guy, he's the hero archetype. And I could see, you know, from like Nike to Harley Davidson to the entrepreneurs that I was modeling online, the archetypes that they followed. So I found this really incredible tool. And I think that using that as a start of the conversation of figuring out what's actually in your soul and your gut and your heart first, like how, you know, let's give it a name. Let's name your strength so that you can step into it and own it. That's given me like the in, I guess, like the conversation starter with entrepreneurs. And then just illuminating the fact that, like I said in the beginning of this conversation, your colors and your fonts, like those tactical decisions are the last thing that you should decide. So once people have that light bulb moment, they're like, oh, I've been missing a step. That's why my ad funnels or my Instagram campaigns or whatever isn't working, because I'm clearly not resonating at that like gut psychological level. So when I introduce that to people, people tend to get interested.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting to hear you talk about branding with the psychology component in it. We hear people talk about sales strategies with the psychology component in it. But I don't know that I've ever talked to branding people with that same concept. Or if they do, I feel like it's in the colors and the fonts and how these things make people feel. So let's dive into that a little bit more. Aside from the branding, you've already mentioned like people want to always start with the logo and the fonts and the colors. But what are the other key components that go into creating a strong brand?
Oh, such a juicy question. Thank you, Katie. So I always start at the core of the brand, and the core is made up of four pieces. Probably the most important is the personality of your brand. And the things that make up your personality are like how you would think of a person, right? Like, are you caring or are you ambitious? Are you funny? Those types of things, really thinking about your brand as a character or as a person, is it what is going to give it that human level where it's going to connect with other humans on that psychological level. So that's one piece. O is your offer. So this is the nuts and bolts of your business. What are you offering to whom? R is reasons to believe. So why should people buy from you? Like, there's probably 1,000 different substitutions. So what are the pieces of credibility that make you attractive? And then the E is the environment that your brand lives in. So the context that you're living in. So like if I were to start my business when there was a zombie apocalypse going on, I would have a very different business. Like I probably wouldn't be building websites for people. That would not be a top of mind need. But since we're not in that type of situation, then I can have a business where I'm helping them stand out on the internet. So paying attention to the trends and movements that are going on in popular culture, just in people's lives, and how your brand plays into that.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. So then once you've kind of gotten those core pieces down, is that where you then move people into design concepts and things like that?
Yes, exactly. So you have to figure out, I always like to say you want to build your brand on truth, not trends. So you have to figure out that truth piece first. And that's the four that we just talked about. And then once you have that frame of reference and you have that container that you know that you want to connect with people on, that's when you can start to translate that into specific words that you're choosing, like specific headlines, how, your calls to action on your website, and yes, the colors and fonts and design choices from there.
I'm glad you pointed out copy and, you know, the text on your website and how you're describing things as part of the brand experience, because I think that is an area that people miss at the early stages of business. You know, they think of it, oh, I just need a logo and I need a website that shows our products or services or whatever it might be. But the way you speak about them and the feelings you evoke through that copy, whether it's urgency or, you know, trust building or whatever it might be, that's equally as important as, you know, the graphic layout and everything like that. What is a common fear that you see among your clients? What holds them back from putting their best foot forward with regards to their brand?
I think the common maybe like hesitation is that it's not, and maybe this is like my own subconscious, but like it's perhaps not as sexy or it's not as exciting in the fact that when you're building a brand, you're building a long-term relationship with your clients and customers. It has to be built over time. That's, you know, those touch points need to build up that relationship that you're creating. So it's not just going to be putting out one ad and then getting a massive return on investment. It's something that's going to be cumulative. It's a feedback loop where you're putting stuff out into the market, you're getting responses from the market, and then you're continually getting better and better at being your brand in the business.
Yeah. What do you say to somebody that is holding them back because they think it's kind of a one and done and not this always evolving fluid process that needs to be improved upon?
I think that the brands, I mean, think about this tired example, but think about Kodak, like resting on their laurels. They didn't want to transform into digital photography because they were just stubborn, whatever it was. They figured out what their brand was. It was working for them. And then they completely ignored that E in the core that we talked about, that the environment was changing around their brand.
Right.
So you have to be in this constant state of putting goals, like figuring out what your vision is so you know where you want to go, and then assessing your brand against those different benchmarks that you've created, and then figuring out where you can improve. Like for me, it's exciting because I know that my brand is never going to be perfect. Like there is always going to be some janky email somewhere or like some weird page that has like old colors on it or whatever. But
right.
The more that we can get it into alignment, the more people respond, because once we're consistent and cohesive and compelling, then people start to pay attention.
Absolutely. I love that you said touched on the perfection aspect of it, because even myself, I know that it's, you know, there's certain things, no, I want this done really well and right before we release it to the public. And in reality, it's so much better to just done is better than perfect. Let's get things out in the world and see what happens with them.
Heck yes.
I know. So, hey, you've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years now. What is something that challenged you in the early days of running your business?
It's scale. Scale has always been my arch nemesis, and it's actually where my focus is now, because I always felt like I was the only person who could be my brand. I was the only person who like had the best intentions for my brand, or I don't even know what that was, but I had the mindset block that I was the only person who could do everything in my business. And that really stunted my growth. That first business that I started, I actually got so burnt out that I completely shut it down and just like shut my doors because I was so burnt out. And in this new business that I've been in for the last, I don't know if it's, actually it's been over 6 years now, in this business, I'm being very mindful. Like I brought on an excellent team, and I'm being very, very conscious about setting high brand standards for everybody on our team so that they can take my brand and run with it. I don't have to be the bottleneck in every decision.
Yeah. Well, how do you logistically do that? How do you infuse your brand culture into, not, I don't want to say you're infusing this into the people, but you know, how do you infuse that into your company culture? And you know, how does that affect your hiring decisions?
Yes, good questions. I think one of the best things you can do for your brand in terms of attracting ideal clients and getting your team involved is to realize that your brand is more than the products that you're selling in most of your audience case, or if you're selling services, it's more than whatever you're selling. Like you have to, I love archetypes for this reason as well, because they are attached to some deeper human value or deeper human motivation. Like the girl next door is all about building community. So instead of just selling candles, maybe your brand is about selling community or selling love or selling joy to people. Like figure out what that higher order movement is behind your brand. And that's what also gets your team really excited about building this bigger thing.
Yeah. Well, and two, to your point, if a company has multiple products within their product line, if you know that your overarching purpose and your why and your brand is all about bringing joy, it makes the decision-making process easier.
Oh my gosh. I love brands for that reason. Like they're such an effective filter, because when you first start in business, when you're like evaluating the whole landscape of opportunity, it gets so overwhelming so fast. And if you're constantly making those decisions from a blank slate, you're going to get really tired out. So having that brand is like knowing what your lane is and just staying in the lane.
Yeah. And so I'd love to hear your feedback on this, but you know, in my opinion, branding is so much, we've already talked about it, so much more than just your logos and colors and things like that. It really truly is the mission and the values and all of those things wrapped into one. And I find too, with earlier entrepreneurs, people just starting out in their business, they kind of make decisions in silos. You know, they think about, oh, well, we want to create this certain product category, so let me make these decisions based on that. But when you, to your point, when you have the bigger picture roadmap, when you know what the driving force is and who you're serving and what you want every single product or service you create to do, what that end goal to feel like, it does. It makes things easier to develop. It makes your decision-making process a lot easier.
Yeah. I mean, on a practical level, even just choosing, this is kind of a tired example, but even just choosing three adjectives that describe the soul of your brand, that can be really effective because you then have a tangible filter that you can evaluate everything against. So like if say your three words are fun, lively, and luxurious, you can evaluate every single product that you're thinking about adding to your store, every single headline that you're using, or every single product description against those three words. And that's just like the very basics of it. But the more clear that you are about that soul and that mission and that greater purpose for being in business, the easier all of those decisions get.
Absolutely. So our three core values at Bootcamp are community, collaboration, and education. And really, I wanted to start adding in a bunch of other words, you know, family, and, you know, because I treat everyone I work with, you know, like my family. But really, I summed it down to those three because I feel like together they kind of encapsulate that family vibe, or, you know what I mean? So I think if you don't know what those core values are of your business, for anyone listening, it's okay. Just continue to do what you're doing. I think the right ones will rise to the top. And this is an evolution. This is a process that you have to go through. And, you know, things change too. So it's okay to, you know, have certain things be your focal point now and switch later to doing that, you know, to making it different. So I want to switch gears a little bit here. Your husband's job has had you moving every few years. And I'm curious to hear, how has that influenced the work that you do and how you work with your clients? I mean, you've really built an independent location type of business. It's really a mobile business.
I did, out of necessity. So I had the experience of moving to the first location that he was at, which was Tennessee, from Michigan, where I grew up. And when I landed there, it was 2008. So for anybody remembers that time in the States particularly, it was just a hard time to find a job. Yeah. And I sent out like hundreds of resumes, and I think I had like two interviews and they were bad and I didn't get the jobs anyway. And I was just like desperate and humbled and going crazy. And I ended up accepting a temp job for a little while and then finally ended up getting a good like marketing job in that place. And promptly, an hour or like a year and a half later, we were moving again. Like, Oh heck no, I'm not doing that again. I am not doing that again. And to make things worse, we were moving to the middle of nowhere, Missouri, like basically an island in the middle of the country. And I realized that I have always been super tech savvy, thankfully. And I've always loved computers. I built my first website when I was 11 years old.
Wow.
And yeah, I was a total nerd. So I just got it in my mind that I was going to build this business completely location independent. And I think that in some ways that's more challenging because it's really easy to form relationships with people when you're in the same room and you can like hug them and breathe the same air and like break bread together. But I've also been able to have an incredible amount of freedom. So we've been traveling all over Europe for the last couple of years, two toddlers in tow, because this business is set up this way. So from the beginning, I grew it, you know, with the systems in mind to keep it completely location independent. And I will continue to do that.
That's awesome. Logistically, what kind of systems have you set up to make that easier for you?
A lot of them are based on communication, both with my team and my clients. So, and then actually setting up expectations right from the start. So I tell my clients where I live. We live in Naples, Italy at the moment. So they know that I have clients who have lived in the Bahamas, Poland, United States. That's just the norm in my business. And we communicate over Zoom. Now we used to do Skype, but the internet here in Italy is really bad. And Zoom is a little bit more stable these days. We're doing a lot of like Slack back and forth as a team. Everything in terms of paperwork is all digital. So HelloSign for contracts. We're using Calendly to manage all of the time zone differences and scheduling appointments. And it's just, as soon as you kind of flip that switch, like, okay, like how am I going to do this online? There are so many different,
tools and technology.
Tools. Yes. Yes, exactly.
Do you ever feel overwhelmed by the amount of tools? I mean, there's so many different things out there that you can use and you can try. And I don't know. I love technology. I love streamlining things, but lately I've been feeling like there's so many new things. And what do we really need? What do I not need?
Right. I get like, subscription overwhelm, or like subscription. I'm just like up to my eyeballs in subscription, business subscriptions. And I have to like be mindful and like call them back every, so, you know, like literally every other month I'm canceling subscriptions because I just had to have some new tool that was going to make my life incredibly, you know, painless and amazing. And then you find out that it doesn't really add that much to your business or even adds more complexity. So
yeah,
you have to be mindful of that in terms of process and all the cash flow stuff for sure.
Oh yeah. Okay. So I would love for you to share like a transition you've been through. I mean, clearly you've run different businesses, you've shifted and lived in different places. You know, you've had a lot of transitions and yet success. I mean, I don't mean to say transitions are a bad thing. You've had success with your business, but you've had to deal with a lot of transitions. What is your just general take on running a business and pushing through those hurdles? Like, how do you handle when things don't go as planned? And what's your strategy there?
Also an amazing question. I think that even being as seasoned as I am, we've moved five times in the last 8 years. I always underestimate how much time it's going to take to get settled with just the basics. Like not even feeling settled, like with a friends group or like doctors and hairstylists and that kind of thing, like, like really settled, but even just like the basic, like I am in the right state of mind to work. So I've really worked in seasons, and I've had times in my business where I'm really focusing on the business. And then you also need to have times where you're really just focusing on life, especially if you have those really big transitions, like a move or a baby. Those types of things wreak havoc on business. And I don't think that it's reasonable or feasible to keep going at 100 miles an hour through those transitions. Yeah. It's like going around a curve. Like you don't want to go completely off the road because you're trying to do it too quickly. It does take slowing down. So that would be my one piece of advice, just to give yourself grace during those times. Because even, like I said, being an experienced transitioner, it still takes a lot.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The other thing is too, everybody's life circumstances and seasons, as you talked about them, are so different, and how we handle things and how we approach things is different. I just thought it was fascinating because there are a lot more people that I'm hearing from, coaching clients and our alumni, that are looking for that flexible, independent life that where they can travel and do these different things, but they want to build a strong foundation for their business so that they're still able to do that work from remote locations, or they've got systems and processes set up so they can still service their clients or build their products the best they can.
Can I add to my answer there? Because I think the things that I'm doing now that's going to make this next transition, so we're getting ready for another one. In December, my husband's actually separating from the military, so we're doing a big transition where we're moving back to the States, and he's going to be job hunting and doing that whole bit. So I'm now in preparation mode for this next big transition in our life. And setting, like doing things in my business that I know that are going to be evergreen. So evergreen is kind of like this online marketing word, but things that are going to last a long time. So posting on Instagram, really been focusing on YouTube because the content there lasts a lot longer. I've been focusing on building up my body of work, my blog posts, the content that's going to attract people to my website. All of my courses that I sell digitally are set up so they're automatically attracting leads. I tend to use Facebook ads, but you don't have to. But it's attracting people every day. It's not something that I'm pouring a ton of time into launching new things. And I think that product-based businesses can especially relate because you don't typically have these like big seasons of launches like you do with the online marketing space. But finding ways so that you can consistently attract the clients that you need, and then you have an idea of how many customers are going to pop out on the other side. Like having that system working really well gives you a lot more freedom and a lot more space in your business.
Oh, I love that. That's great advice. I do think the other, to your point about YouTube and your own blog, you know, blogs, I feel like a lot of my community, myself included, we spend a lot of time on Instagram because we're a visual community. We like to see things, you know, it's just, it's our jam, much more than like text on Twitter and stuff like that, or text format, I mean. But there's a lot to be said for building up your own website, creating the blog post, because you own that space. It's not at the mercy of algorithms or Facebook rules or whatever it might be. And so having a home for people to come to that is purely yours, and you can create, you know, create the vibe and the content there. I think even for product-based businesses, that's super important.
Totally. And I think starting on social media is a really great way to start because it's such a low barrier to entry. You can get started right away. I would just encourage people to be super mindful of, and this is going to make some people groan, but the branding person is going to talk about numbers for a second, like be very mindful of where your sales are coming from. Because I found, like, especially as my business grows and becomes more mature, it's coming from direct traffic. So people who hear about my brand, because I've been building my brand for the last several years, and then search traffic, actually. So when I look at how many people that Instagram or even Facebook are sending me, it's very small compared to the entire platform, like the permanent platform that I've built for my brand.
That's a great point. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. If you were to sit down with somebody and you had 5 minutes to kind of assess their brand and you could give them just a quick bit of advice for how they could strengthen things, just, you know, you don't have time to really dive into their core or anything like that. What are some quick fixes or things that you would tell people to take a look at first and foremost to strengthen their brand?
I have a exercise that I do with literally everybody because it's so gosh darn powerful. And it actually is related to the personality of your brand and related to how we talked about making your product or service stand for something bigger than yourself. And what you're going to do is take a piece of paper, a number down the side, and you start every sentence with "I believe." And you don't have to just talk about your industry. You can talk about success or family or contribution or work-life balance, like all of these very important human things. And literally decide, like, literally define what you believe. Like, what are your opinions about these really big, important things? And when you start creating content around those bigger themes, or just start maybe even like including some of it in your product descriptions or wherever you can put that, those like more human ideas in, that's really going to improve your brand. It's going to attract more of the right clients to you, right customers to you, and actually repel the ones that aren't a good fit for your brand, which is also magical and very beneficial.
Yeah, I know. I think people are fearful of repelling people that aren't the right fit, but really it just makes, it enables you to talk to the right people more clearly and speak to their needs better. That's awesome. I love that activity. I think I'm going to try it this afternoon. So thank you for sharing that. All right. Well, what's next for you, Kay? What are you working on and where can people find you online?
Oh, you can take my brand quiz. It's actually been taken over 80,000 times now.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
Bananas. Yeah, absolutely bananas. So that's on my website, kputnam.com. You can find out what your top, like the top four archetypes that show up in your brand are. So you have like this great jumping off point to learn about the different archetypes, see what jives with your brand. You have veto power, so you can decide which one you resonate most. I recommend sticking to two, a primary and a secondary archetype, so that you have an effective filter to make decisions through. Because you, again, can't be everything to everybody. That's where I would recommend people go.
Awesome. Well, we will be sure to link that in the show notes. Do you have anything else coming up that you want to share with people, programs or anything you want to share?
No, I also have a free 5-day challenge on my site. So if you're like ready to dive in deeper, it's like 5 full length trainings. I think they're 20 minutes long that all have a bunch of exercises and practical stuff to do to like build your brand using that core method that we talked about earlier. So that's an awesome resource on my site as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, for sharing your wisdom, and also sharing your story of how you've built your business. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, and I am hosting a free masterclass where I'm going to share my top 3 secrets for maximizing your trade show investment and tips on how to keep your wholesale orders coming in long after your trade show ends. Now, this free workshop is for anyone selling physical products, not just stationary brands. And it's helpful to anyone considering large-scale wholesale shows like New York Now, Stationery Show, or even Atlanta's Mart. If you're interested in listening in, head on over to thebooththeblueprint.com to sign up for this free masterclass. Again, that's thebooththeblueprint.com. I look forward to having you join me. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.